Listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host for the week, Trisha Brown, and this is episode number 456.5. I hope that you are all well in this world that seems to get a little bit weirder every day, or at least that you are getting the right amount of things like sunshine and rest that you need these days. We are gathered here today, as you know, to talk about books. And the two books that I'm going to talk about are going to seem maybe a little different in a lot of ways, but they are tied together by two key elements, ghosts and books. In the first one, a longtime patron haunts a local bookstore over the course of an exceptionally eventful year. And in the second, a writer who has returned to her childhood home upon the death of her father is startled to be joined by the ghost of her new book editor. Have I sold it? Are you curious? Are you ready to know more? Is the suspense building? Well, I will tell you more right after we take a quick break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her sole family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what? What's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode.
This episode is sponsored by The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy. Robbie and Trevor Cressmont have enough wealth to ensure they'll never be found guilty of any wrongdoing, even if everyone believes they're behind the deaths of their ex-girlfriends. And let us all take a collective angry sigh at that. Lauren O'Brien, the new girl at school, has a dark past of her own, and she's desperate for a fresh start. Except when she starts a relationship with Robbie, her chance is put in jeopardy. During what's meant to be their last weekend together, Lauren stumbles across evidence that might just implicate Robbie. And after a third death rocks the town, she must decide whether to end things with Robbie or risk becoming another cautionary tale. This is an edge-of-your-seat YA thriller that's perfect for fans of Karen McManus and Holly Jackson. Make sure you pick that up now wherever books are sold, and thank you once again to The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy for sponsoring today's show.
All right, as promised, it's time for more book talk. And that is book talk as in discussion, not book talk as in TikTok, which you know, again, because this is not TikTok. This is not a visual medium. Anyway, more book discussion. The first book that we're talking about today is The Sentence by Louise Erdrich. Published in 2021, The Sentence is set over the course of a year, specifically November 2nd, 2019 through November 2nd, 2020. Perhaps you will recall a lot happened in that 12 months. But before we get to all of those events, let me give you a little context for the book. So our main character and narrator is Tuki, a woman in her 40s who's taken a job in a bookstore following about a decade in prison for a crime that she committed but did not entirely know about, or at least she definitely didn't know the whole story. At any rate, books and particularly a dictionary sent to her by a former teacher become her saving grace while in prison. And once she's freed, Tuki works on building a new life, including marrying an old friend who is also the police officer who arrested her. And that does get more relevant and more complicated as the book goes on, so stay tuned for that. She also gets a job at a local bookstore in Minneapolis. As the story really gets started, Tuki is satisfied with her life. She's grateful for it, particularly because she has known a life that was very different. But things get pretty complicated when a longtime patron of the bookstore dies and begins to haunt the store, and begins to haunt Tuki in particular. So over the course of the year, Various events upend Tuki's life. She becomes a grandmother. COVID comes to the world in the bookstore. George Floyd is murdered in her city. And all the while, she is haunted by both Flora, who is the ghost, but also she's haunted by questions of identity and history and culture. And all of those are questions that are both personal for her and also communal, which I think is one of the things about this book that makes it very relatable. There's so much that also makes this book incredibly fascinating, not the least of which is that the Haunted Bookstore is a store that is owned in real life by Louise Erdrich, the author, and Louise herself makes appearances as a minor character in a few places throughout. Given that, there are hints of what is sometimes called autobiographical fiction in the sentence, but Tuki is certainly a created and invented written narrator and an observer of real events, and her fictional story is sort of laid over those events. The word unquiet is used multiple times in this book, and I think the experience of reliving some of the most important events in recent history, the most important events in my lifetime at least, is an unquiet experience. It's a testament to Erdrich's writing that as she transports a reader back to 2020, her story doesn't just evoke memories, but it evokes the feelings that I at least had as a reader of that year. There are echoes of fear and frustration and desperation from 2020 that were certainly a part of my reading experience, and I think are likely to be part of a reader experience for many people who read this book. The sentence is a beautiful depiction of the ways that living through 2020 was both an individualized experience as well as a communal one. Now, I mentioned that the sentence, while a very satisfying experience, is also an unquiet one. And if that kind of a read isn't quite where you're at right now, let me offer something that is also satisfying, but maybe a little less bumpy on the road along the way. The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston is also a ghost story, but it's one that might be like a little gentler. And it's written to be that way, right? Not every book has to make you question every choice you made during what might have been the most difficult year of your life. Not every book has to do that. So The Dead Romantics does deal with loss, though. So as always, make sure that you are checking your content warnings as needed. Our main character in this one is Florence Day, who is a ghostwriter for one of the most famous romance novelists in the world. Now, to be clear, since we are talking about ghosts today, when I say ghostwriter, I mean that in the traditional sense, not that she is a writer who is a ghost. I feel like that's an important clarification. Florence cannot finish her current assignment, though, because a really bad breakup with a real piece of trash guy, like who just sucks so much. Anyway, she broke up with him, and it has ruined her ability to imagine and write love stories, and specifically the happy endings that come with those stories. Through a terrible turn of events, she ends up needing an extension, more of an extension than she was already planning on, because she has to go home to South Carolina for her beloved father's funeral. He has died unexpectedly. She left home 10 years prior to this, and she never went back because she was like low-key run out of town because she helped to solve a murder mystery. And I know what you're thinking. Why would they run her out of town for solving a murder mystery? That seems like a really good civil service thing to do. And it's because she did it by talking to the ghost of the child who was murdered, because Florence sees and speaks with dead people. So they thought she was weird. They ran her out of town. Now she's back. And she is astonished to find in South Carolina that for her father's funeral, there is a ghost showing up on her doorstep. And it is her New York book editor who has apparently been hit by a bus and is now sort of haunting her in South Carolina. Is he a surprising presence? Yes. Is he also sort of a welcoming one because she's navigating fresh grief and he's supportive and kind despite dealing with his own weird situation of suddenly being a ghost? Also, yes. The Dead Romantics is a romance, though there's not a lot of explicit sexual content in it. So now you know that if you care, and you can decide whether or not you care. And I do think that despite the lighter tone of this one, there's still a lot of navigation of grief and regret and how we make choices about our lives and relationships that add what was for me the right amount of depth. So I don't mean to indicate that it is not a book that has, you know, layers and different dimensions. It's just, like I said, a different kind of read than the sentence. Plus, there's a ghost. And actually, since we are talking about ghost books, last but not least, I do have to do a quick shout out to a book that Vanessa talked about on this very podcast a couple of years ago. It's called The Widow of Rose House by Diana Biller, and it is one of my favorite books that I've read in the last probably decade. There are definitely some heavy themes in this one too, but it certainly sits at the lighter end of the spectrum that we've been talking about today. It's a Gilded Age romance set in New York, and it's about a young widow who is trying to start a new life in a mansion that turns out to be haunted. She is assisted with her ghost issues by an inventor slash ghost enthusiast who is one of the most wonderful main characters I read in a romance ever. He is kind, brilliant, and more than a little naive about the ways of the world. And if you are a vibes-based reader, this book, despite some of its themes of recovery from trauma and abuse, is hopeful and warm, and it's lovely. Vanessa stole it right before I joined the podcast. I forgive her, even though I actually recommended it to her. So, I mean, whatever. Like I said, I forgive her. I've moved on. But I do love it so much that I had to mention it. I couldn't skip it. And again, that's The Widow of Rose House by Diana Biller. And that's it for us today. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor. And a huge thanks as well to our wonderful audio editor, Caitlin Brame. And thank you, of course, for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks, or they might just be right there in your podcatcher. Take a quick look. Remember that if you are a fan of All the Books and All the Backlist and you want to show a little love, please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We do appreciate it, and it does help other book lovers find us. And if you want to find me, mostly on Instagram, you can find me at Trisha Haley Brown. And until we talk again, please do take good care, get that rest or that sunshine, and happy reading.